Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine. Today's sermon is called An Invitation, the Invitation to Revelation. and you'd be surprised to know how many times you're getting an invitation so that God can reveal something to you about Himself, how much He wants to talk to you about who He is in your life. It's incredible how God does that. And sometimes we might not like the way He does it, but He does it. But it is all an invitation to revelation. I was thinking about some of the kids. Maybe they might like an invite to Rev Light. How's that? No? It takes a while, I know. It does. Invite to Rev Light. How many know that when you get revelation from God, it's something you get revved up about? Is that right? How many know that? How many experience that? And sometimes when you go to explain your revelation, hey, man, I got this revelation. This is what God's saying. And, you know, and people look at you and go, oh, cool. He's fell off the truck somewhere. But that's okay. Because when you get revelation, you get kind of revved up. So if you want to call it invite to Rev Light, you can this morning, but invitation to revelation is the name of our sermon this morning. So we're going to turn to the book of Revelation, but I want to talk to you just a little bit before that. Jesus was talking to His disciples, and He said to them, He goes, "Who do men say that I am?" And they looked at Him, and they said, "You know, some say that you might be John the Baptist." Come again. What? You might be Elijah, or maybe Jeremiah. We're one of the prophets. But then He asked them a very important question. It's the same question He would ask you, but who do you say that I am? Who is it that you say that I am? And I'm sure the disciples are sitting there looking at each other, and I think maybe Peter might have gotten a little nervous about saying what he's about to say. But it becomes so strong in him. He says, "You know, you're, no, I'm just, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus, and I'm sure that Jesus goes, "Yes!" Praise God. He says, "Hey, heaven and earth didn't reveal that to you, but My Father, which is in heaven, He revealed that to you." And folks, I want to talk to you about us being on the earth, God being up there, you know, God being invisible. How many of you know we need to see things that we can't see? How many know that? Is it important that we see things that we don't see? It's very important. And in the kingdom of God, it's important that the invisible things become very visible to us, even though they're invisible. Does that make sense? Yes. Praise God, it does. Think about it. Listen to the tape. I'm just kidding. Praise God. But listen, God is doing some great things. And most of the time when God's doing the great things, they're in the background. You won't see them. That's what Rebecca was talking about this morning. There's things that are going on behind us we don't see. You know how many people might give up on something that God is doing because they don't see it actually happening right then? A lot of folks that run into that. They'll say, "I guess it just isn't happening." But God says, "Hey, hold on. Be not weary in well-doing, for you will reap if you'll just hold on." Is that cool? God wants you to hold on to what you got, okay? So Revelation chapter 1, we'll start there. Lord, I just thank You for Your word, God. I thank You. Thank You, Lord, for the message You've placed on my heart this morning to speak to Your people. Father, I thank You, Lord, that, Lord, it's Your word. Lord, would You just speak to the hearts of Your people, Lord. Show them that You are who You've always said You are in their life, Lord. As we go through these scriptures, as we look at Your word, Father, Lord, reveal Yourself to us, Father. We thank You for it. We praise You for it. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things that he saw. Blessed is he that reads, they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. I used to be, you know, growing up in the Catholic Church, we never looked at the hardly at the Bible at all. And then another thing we never did was go to Revelation. It was just something that just scared me, you know. And so, I mean, Revelation was not something that we read a lot. But God is saying, blessed are they that read. How many want to be blessed? Read this book. It's a good book. Amen. You might not understand it. You might not get it all. Is that okay? Because, you know, you're going to see that he made some very clear instructions for John. He says, write the things that you've seen, write the things that are now, and then write the things that are to come. It's those things that are to come where we kind of have trouble with. Is that right? Because the way he describes them, we just can't, just for instance, there's a place in there where he talks about a helicopter with a man's face. I'm sorry, he didn't say helicopter. He talks about a locust with a man's face. Is that right? I think it's a helicopter. That's what I think. I mean, and then it says out of its tail, it would hurt men. It would sting men and they would die. That sounds like a helicopter to me. Is it a helicopter? Could be. Maybe. I don't know. But it sounds reasonable. Is that right? So we don't have to worry about not totally understanding the book of Revelation. Because I will tell you something. If you need to understand something that's in the book of Revelation, God the Father, by his Holy Spirit, will reveal something to you if you need to know it. Is that okay? There's comfort in that. Isn't that right? Whew. Yeah. Okay. So, along, we want to keep going. It says this, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be to you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. Is Jesus faithful? Absolutely, he's faithful. When he was on the earth, he was faithful to God to be a witness what God had sent to him. As a matter of fact, he told Pontius Pilate, he said, hey, I have come to bear witness to the truth. He was a faithful witness, isn't that right? In the book of Timothy, Timothy says something about Jesus. Jesus, who was faithful in his conversation when he was before Pontius Pilate, didn't try to get himself out of what was going on. He just said, this is what it is. I have come to bear witness to the truth. Pilate didn't get it. Said, hey, what is truth? That was Pilate's words, man. Praise God. But Jesus is the faithful witness, like it says here. He is the faithful witness, and he's the first begotten of the dead. Is that right? Resurrected. How many of you guys believe in resurrection? Anybody here believe in resurrection? 1, 2. Wait, I'm going to hold your hand up if you believe it, because I'm going to count you. All right. First begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Of all the kings the earth has ever seen, he's the prince over them. Is that right? He's the Prince of Peace. He's also the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Is that right? King, capital K of Kings, lowercase k. Hallelujah. That's who Jesus is. He's the King of all kings. Hallelujah. The world has never seen a king like this man. Is that right? And wait, you just wait. When he shows up again, the world is going to be in awe. Is that right? How many know that? You know what? Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And I can't wait for that. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to it. Hallelujah. It's the word of God. Hallelujah. And he has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Is that all right? Ooh, yeah, I'll tell you what. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Folks, that's the king you serve. He's made you a king, and he's made you a priest. Do you know that? Hallelujah. Do you know you're a king and a priest? The word of God says you are. If Jesus lives in your heart, you're a king because the King of Kings lives in your heart. You're a priest because the great high priest lives in your heart. So that makes you a king. It makes you a priest. Don't worry about it, ladies. It's okay. I don't want to say priestess or a queen. No, you're a king. Hallelujah. You know what a king does? He'll make a declaration. He'll fill the atmosphere of his chamber with the declarations of what this is what the Word of God says. That's what you're called to do. You're called to fill the atmosphere with the Word of God. Hey, man, you will not die. You're going to live in the name of Jesus. Is that right? Hallelujah. You are healed according to the Word of God. Hallelujah. Be a king. And be a priest. That's that person that you go across the street, man, and you help them mow their lawn. Ladies, you help them cook cookies. And you tell them, you know, God really does love you. That's what a priest does. A priest brings people to God. Come on, man. You're a king and a priest. Is that right? Everybody said, I'm a king and a priest. Wow. Okay. All right. You'll get it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Behold, he comes in the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Talking about future events. Then verse 8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I like that statement. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That's something that he said. I've read it hundreds of times, and even every time I read it, I go, yeah, that's Jesus. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. But you know what? How do I know? I wasn't in the beginning. Wasn't there. I wasn't in the end. I'm not at the end. I don't know what the end is about. I don't know where it's at. Do you know that? How many know that? How many know that? But he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. He says he's the beginning and he's also the end. And you know what? I have grown to trust him for what he said that I believe it. Whether I was there or not, I believe it. He's been so good in my life. I trust what he says and I believe it and I take it to the bank. He's the best. I cash it in. I make it mine. Amen. Hallelujah. I put it in my account. He's the beginning and he's the end. Done deal. Hallelujah. I don't even plan this. Come on, man. Thus saith the Lord, which is, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John talking, he says, I, John, who also am your brother and a companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I heard them babies, the twins, praise God. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice, hallelujah, as of a trumpet, saying, once again, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and to Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, and as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, praise God, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice was as a sound of many waters, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shines in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Verse 19 says, write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Patmos was a small island. If you leave Ephesus, the closest, I guess, big city to Patmos was Ephesus. If you went southwest of Ephesus, you would run into a small island. The small island was called, I don't know if I wrote it down, Samos. The small island, if you went from that small island, another southwest trip, you would run into a very small island. Today, there's only about 3,000 people living on this island, but it's called what? What? Yeah. This small island was Paul, or where the Apostle John was taken as a prisoner. They used this island, Patmos, as a exile island at that time. At that time, the Roman government controlled the island, and they used it as a exile island, and they sent all the unwanteds. It doesn't say in Scripture, but it said the word of. I've heard people say that Paul was. They tried to boil him in oil in a Colosseum, and I don't know if that. I don't see it in Scripture, but it's okay. And it's just one of those things that they tried to boil him in oil, and he wouldn't burn. He wouldn't boil. He wouldn't whatever. They couldn't hurt him. And actually, when the Colosseum is the story that has been told, the Colosseum saw that he it didn't hurt him. A lot of people gave their hearts to Jesus because he spoke Jesus. He talked. That's the guy that talks about Jesus. And when they tried to boil him, it didn't work. And so anyway, there's a story about that. And so they placed him on this island. And while he's on this island, he got instructions from the Lord. He says, I want you to do this. Well, he hears a voice. Is that all right? He hears a voice. How many know it's nice to hear God's voice? How many love to hear God's voice? Hallelujah, man. You know, man, when he talks, I say, God, it's about time you said something. Man, I've been waiting for you. How many, do you like waiting on God? People, generally, it's a big fat no. I don't want to be waiting on God. But the Word of God teaches and tells us we need to wait on the Lord. Wait on Him. Wait on Him. When I'm walking, I go to these where the traffic lights are. And yeah, I hit that button to turn to let it know that I'm waiting to catch to get across. And you know what it says?
Wait. Wait.
Hit the button. Wait. Hit the button. Wait. So I've done what I've been doing now. And when I hit the button, I know it's going to say wait. So it goes, wait. And I go, I'm the Lord. I'll hit it again. Wait. I'm the Lord. I play in that corner until it light turns in, and I go, I use that button to talk to me. Amen? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Wait on the Lord, man. I love it. Glory to God. Sometimes, you know, waiting on the Lord is rough. It takes patience. But I'll tell you something. If you'll wait on Him, He'll always come, and He'll minister to you. But you got to wait on Him. You got to forget about everything else. Just wait on Him. Got to go to work. That's cool. Go to work. But while you're at work, say, hey, Lord, I'm waiting on you. You know I'm waiting on you. God, you know I'm waiting to hear you. Yeah, I'm waiting. But he says, I heard a voice behind me. I love it. I heard a voice. And he said, he turned to see the voice, and in his cave, it was a cave he was at, there's candlesticks. Oh, man. And he sees the Lord. And he describes him being just as bright and white and pure. His feet are like brass, golden shoes, I guess, or just a beautiful description. And then the Lord tells him, write the things that you've seen. The things that are now and the things that are coming. I love that. It's because I've been told that out of Patmos, Paul wrote the book of Revelation. But he also wrote the book that's named after him, the book of John, written there in that island, because he was writing the things that he had seen when he was walking with Jesus. And then the things that were now, Philadelphia, Sardis, Laodicea, the churches that God told him to address. And then he's talked about the things that were coming. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John, by his own words, said, I'm here because of the testimony of the Word of God. Is that right? He says, I'm here. I'm on this island for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Because of what he was saying and what he was talking about, God's Word, he was on that island. They don't want to hear it. Put him somewhere where we don't have to hear him. Praise God. God's plan. Amen? Patmos for John. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 17. I'd like to look at verse 17. Could you put that up? Is it up? Verse 17. It says this, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. And I was talking about my testimony to Pastor John the other day, and the Lord instructed me to talk a little bit about this morning. Before I knew the Lord, before I had given my heart to God, I was drinking a lot, and had a friend of mine that had been talking to me about Jesus, and I kind of tried to kind of not spend too much time with him, because all the guys would watch me and they'd hey man, you're hanging around with the Jesus guy, aren't you? yeah, I am. But a lot of the things that he instructed me and he talked to me about, he was just helping me to understand that God really did love me. And one day he goes, hey, Henry, will you go to church with me? I said, and I had gotten comfortable with him. I said, sure, yeah, I'll go. Let's go. He goes, well, be at my house tonight, and you can follow me over there. I said, all right. So I told Rosie, I said, hey, Rosie, we're going to go to church tonight. Where? I said, we're going to go to a church. And she goes, She goes, okay. So we drove up to his house, and he, talked to him a little bit. He goes, just follow me over. So we followed him, and we ended up pulling into a place where there was this huge tent. And right away I go, oh boy, I know what this is. And Rosie goes, oh no. She goes, my dad told me to stay out of these things. And I said, well, hey, we can't go back now. Let's just go ahead and go in and we'll be all right. She goes, okay, but she tells me, she says, you better not leave me. I'm not gonna leave you. Why would I leave you? We'll just make him happy and we'll leave. She goes, okay. So we go in, we're sitting in there, and the evangelist comes out and he says, this is the first thing he says, he goes, before we preach, I feel that the Lord wants us to line up here. We're going to pray for any ailments or anything. So people start lining up, and my buddy Lee, he tells me, he goes, hey, because I had an eye injury at the mine and it was still pretty fresh, and he goes, hey, go on up there. God can heal that. And I looked at him and said, no, that's okay. That's all right. He goes, no, I'm serious, man. You want it healed? Go on up there. Finally, he about the third time, said, okay, well, let's go. So I get up and I walk up there with him. And I'm talking to him. There's a long line. There was a line of folks. And the evangelist is down there praying for folks and stuff. And I'm talking to Lee. And the next thing I know, I feel this tug on my elbow. And I turn around and look, and Rosie's right there. And she goes, I told you not to leave me. I go, I said, babe, I'm sorry, man. All right, she goes. But just a few seconds later, the evangelist is standing right in front of him, in front of Rosie. And he stops, and he looks at her. He steps back, and he looks at her. And he goes, you're afraid of what your dad's going to say. And I looked, and I go, what? There was no way that guy would have known what Rosie was saying. No way. Except Jesus. And she looked at him, and these tears started coming down her eyes, and she's weeping. And I'm looking at her. And that guy put his hand up like that and went to touch her, and she goes, poof. She fell back. How many of you have ever seen those things? I mean, I'm going to say, there's folks, don't be uncomfortable about this, because God does. There's something about God. Sometimes he'll touch folks and they will fall over. What we talked about right here, we see that John, it happened with John. He fell to his feet as dead. And so this is just the word of God. And I saw that and I go, what's going on here, man? And I turned around, and he's standing in front of me, and he tells me, what can I do for you? And I look at him, and Lee's kind of bumping me, and I pull my glasses off, because I'm going to tell him. So, see, if I take my glasses off, I get dizzy. No, I'm just kidding. I said, I pull my glasses off, and I told, and what I was going to say was, hey, I need healing in this eye. But you know what came out of my mouth was not, I need healing in this eye. What came out of my mouth was, if God's real, I want to know. And I'm standing there. He smiles at me, takes my glasses, and he puts them in my pocket. And he just smiles at me. And I see him getting ready to pray for me. And the next thing I know, I feel like I'm floating. Years before that, I was drinking a lot and had gone to a CYO dance. Does anybody know what that is? A Christian Youth Organization. It's Catholic. And I went in there and my buddy said, "Hey man, let's go drink a beer." So I went outside and had a beer. Can you say beer in church? Oh well, too late. He said, "Let's go." He says, so we went out and I drank a beer, and when I went back into the dance, I was going, "Woo! Those guys put something in my beer." I go, "Man, I was floating." And I go, "Man, well, that's the way it felt when I laid back. When I closed my eyes, it felt like I was floating." And I was going, "Whoa! Now what is this?" I didn't realize what I had said. If God's real, I want to know. I didn't realize that. The next thing I know, I hear somebody talking like I'm doing now, preaching. He was preaching. And I open my eyes. I'm laying flat on my back, and I'm looking at the top of the tent, and I see him walking towards me, talking. He's preaching away. I sat up in a kind of a squatting position. I sat up, and I'm looking around, and I'm getting angry. Because, folks, I'm going to tell you, I'm not the kind of person that I like being the center of attention. I've never liked that. I'm not even crazy about being up here preaching, but God has told me this is what you're going to do. Is that okay? And I sat up, and I'm looking around, and then he stops over right next to me. He goes, "Oh, you're back," is what he told me. "Oh, you're back." And I looked at him, and I think I gave him a dirty look, and I jumped up, and I went back to my seat. And I'm sitting there, and I'm getting ready to tell Rosie we need to leave, and she's smiling. And my friend tells me, he says, "Henry, you were there for 20 minutes. I go, "What?" I said, "What?" Yeah. So all of a sudden, I'm just kind of freaked out. Didn't hear what the rest of the service was about. As soon as it was over, come on. We took off. Left. Folks, I hadn't given my heart to the Lord. But God had a purpose and a plan. The very next day, I'm at work, and Lee says, "Hey, man, there's another service. You want to go?" I said, "I don't know." He goes, "It's a church." I said, "You know what? Let me ask my wife. If she wants to go, we'll go." I thought for sure she's not going to want to go. Went home, told Rosie. I said, "Rosie, Lee's asking if we want to go to church again tonight." She goes, "Let's go." I go, "What? What? Who are you? What happened to you?" So we go the very next night. It's not at a tent. This night, it was at a church building real close to Veterans Hospital in Tucson. And we go in, and it's kind of a long shotgun type of church building. And two rows of pews all the way down. One main aisle and aisles on the side. A lot of people in there. My friend Lee had saved the seat for us. We're right on the, as you walked in, we're on the left side of these row of pews, right smack dab in the middle. And I think I might have been sitting, Rosie and I were sitting right in the smack dab in the middle. 10 pews behind us. I don't know how many. 10 behind, 10 in front of us, 10 behind us. And the same brother gets up and he's preaching. Preaching away. And all of a sudden he goes like this. He just points to the crowd on my side. He goes, "Come on up here." And I looked at him, and you know what? It was weird to me. My actions were, it was weird because I stood up and I walked over to the edge and started heading down there. I knew somehow within me he was talking to me. There was a lot of people in there. He could have been talking to a guy behind me, but I knew it was me. I'm walking down that aisle, got about halfway down. He put his hand up, and the next thing I know, boom, right there. I'm down again. A few minutes later, I open my eyes, and there's some guy sitting on the end of the knee. "How you doing?" I go, "Man." You see, I had asked. I said, "You know what? God, if you're real, I want to know you're real." And now, all of a sudden, something was overwhelming me that I had no idea about. It wasn't too long after that I'd given my heart to the Lord. So when I see this thing where it says that, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead," I can relate to that. I understand it. And then he touched him and he said, "Hey, man." He goes, "Hey, man, fear not." And then he says it again, "I'm the first and the last. Hallelujah. So I know there's a lot of folks say, hey, man, there's weird stuff going on in those churches. Yeah, so I remember. No, I'm going to say that. Yeah, yeah. I was talking to a guy. His name is Emmett DeLuna. Don't take this out of the case his family's on. He can hear it. There was a guy there, and I was a young. I had given my heart to the Lord not too long after that. And it's funny because I was, and let me just say this to you, because when God does something in your life, it's a reality. When he says it's finished, it's finished. Is that okay? He comes in to help you. Is that right? He comes in to comfort her. He sends his spirit in to comfort you. That's why he's called the comforter. And when I was talking to a friend of mine that I'd worked with at the mine, his name was Emmett DeLuna, and I was relining these cyclone things. Anyway, we were putting rubber in, and I used to like to do it because the glue. You know what I mean? I go, whoo, that smells good. You know, I mean, I used to like to do it because of the glue. But all of a sudden, I'm a Christian, and things have changed. Isn't that weird? Yeah, you said, man, Henry, you were weird. Yeah, it was, man. Glue sniffing pastor you are. No, but it was. We were relining these things, and what I didn't know, Emmett was a Jehovah's Witness. Is that okay? He was a Jehovah's Witness. So we started talking about the Lord, and I could tell there was something weird about him, but I didn't know why. I had no idea. I didn't know how to operate in these things. And he goes, I said, you know, Emmett, you seem like you're getting, let's pray. I asked him to pray, and I put my hands out to him like that, and he didn't put his hands out like that. he goes, no. He goes, I go, what's up? He goes, because you pray in the name of Jesus. And I looked at him, I go, well, yeah, you don't pray in Jesus' name? He goes, no, see, I didn't know anything about any religion. I didn't know anything. And I stood back and I began to speak to him about who Jesus was. I said, do you know, Emma, that Jesus is God? Would you put up, I believe, John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. I began to speak scriptures to him that I hadn't even looked at. I didn't really know. And this is one of the scriptures that said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Do you know that Jesus is God? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And he's looking at me weird. Put up Acts chapter 20. For I have not shunned to declare to you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God. Who? The church of God, which he purchased with what? His own blood. Who's his own blood? God. God. Jesus. Jesus is God. Hallelujah. Quite a revelation to me. It was a revelation. I was speaking these things, and I go, holy moly, I don't know. I had to go home and look at these scriptures because I didn't know. All I know was my mouth turned automatic. You know, all of these things were just flowing out while I was talking to this man. I know God was going after him. I know it. Hallelujah. My first revelation after the revelation of, man, he's bigger than I thought he was. Take me down in just a second. Crazy man. Hallelujah. Can I say to you this morning that God is trying to reveal things to you that you don't know? He's desiring to show you things. Can I tell you that? Hallelujah. He is inviting you to a revelation. There's an invite going out. How many of you guys like going to baby showers? I didn't think so. Oh, I said guys. How many guys like going to baby showers? Guys. How many of you men like going to baby showers? One, two. No, I don't know. Everybody looks. One, there's one over there. Yeah. Listen, you know, do you know... If there's food, yeah, I got it. My wife said, hey, we're invited to baby shower. I said, guys, don't go to baby showers. They do these days. Yeah, I said, okay. I said, call it something else. So I got an invite, but I'm going to tell you that God is inviting you to have something revealed to you. Let's go to the book of Mark chapter 10, if we would. I want to talk about this young man, and Mark chapter 10, we're going to start at verse 17. I love Jesus. Oh, man, how many love God? I love Jesus. I just love Jesus. And I love reading the stories about him. I love looking at him. I love even trying to say, Lord, why did you do that? Why would you say that? And that's what was this story is kind of about. I'm saying, Lord, why would you say that to him? Because it's kind of out there. And anyway, so starting verse 17, it says, when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? Why are you calling me good? There is none good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these I have observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. Sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up your cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. I love this story. Jesus, this young man runs up to him and falls at his feet and kneels to him and says, good master. He was actually searching for an answer. Is that right? What must I do to get eternal life? Little did he know that he was standing in front of the man that was able to give him eternal life. But Jesus didn't say anything along that way because there was something going on in the little man, in the man, that Jesus was about to address. But one of the ways he addresses, he goes, why do you call me good? Why do you call me good? You know, and you know, I call a lot of you good. Hey, you're a good man. Is that right? Hank, you're a good man. You're a good man. Yeah, you're a good man. You're a good man. I'll say that. You're good. You know who I'm addressing? Him that's in you. You're good because of him that lives in you. Is that right? You're good because of that. And Jesus says, why do you call me good? There's only one that's good, which is God. You know, we have a tendency of telling, hey, man, hey, how are you doing today? Oh, I'm good. Okay, yeah, you are. You're a good man. How are you doing today? Oh, I'm good. Yeah, okay, you're good. Yeah, yeah. But the word of God, when Jesus said this, he said, there is none good but one. You got to understand something, that Jesus was always, because he is the Word. Is that what we read a little while ago? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word. So God, he himself is always, always going to be, look, I'm going to put the Word out in front of you. I'm going to help you with this. So he tells them, there's none good but one. And his name is God. The guy didn't get it. He didn't hear it. And you know how I know he didn't hear it? Because when he goes, when you look at this, where is it? I know he didn't get it because when verse 20, when the young man answers him again, he answers and says unto him, what? What did he say? Verse 20. And he answered and said unto him, master. I'll tell you, he took the good off, set it aside. And I said, you know, the young man did not get what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying, there's none good but one. I'm going to show you something. I just want to show you. How many of you know there's none good but him? Do you know that? Do you know that? In order to be good, you have to accept him into your life. You know, there's a lot of people out there that we would say, oh, they're good people. How many of you said that? They're good people. But if they don't know the Lord, the Word of God says something different about that. Is that okay? Yeah. Let me show you what it says. Hallelujah. If you can, put up Psalm 53, verses 1, 2, and 3. This is what the Word of God says. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and they have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. Is that right? That's what the Word of God says. There's none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. How many? No, not one. It's the Word of God. Jesus asked him, why are you telling me good? Why are you calling me good? Let's look at Psalm 130, verses 1, 2, and 3. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. This is David speaking. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? None good. Is that right? That's what David's saying. If you're going to mark iniquities, if you're going to write them down, check them on all us, you know who's going to stand? Not one of us, Lord. Not one of us. Romans 3:23. How many of you know that one? All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. What does all mean? All. All means all. It's always been all. All always means all, doesn't it? Does it? It does mean that. All is all. So when Jesus says, why do you call me good? There is none good but one. Jesus was referring him to the Word of God. And then the young man says, whoa. He goes, what do the commandments say? He says, oh, I've always kept the commandments. Do you think he's always kept the commandments?
No.
Doesn't the Word of God tell us that we cannot keep the commandments? Nobody, if you break one, you've broken what? All of them. Does all still mean all? Yeah, it does. It means all. Hallelujah. So he didn't get what Jesus was telling him. He didn't catch the phrasing that Jesus... Folks, I'm going to tell you, it's important when you're looking at the Word of God, catch the phrasing. See what he's saying. Take a look at it. Can I tell you, the Word of God tells us that everything is one day going to be complete. Even the dots and all the little markings that are above on the Word of God, all of those things are going to come to pass. So everything is important. Do you know that? Every small word, everything. Everything's important. When this guy dropped the good, now Jesus is just another man. How do you know that every religion in the world has a leader? Every one of them does. But none of them are good. How many know that? Because God is the only one that's good. Hallelujah. And until he comes into your heart, you're no good. I'm sorry. It's just a fact. It's the way it is. You're no good until Jesus comes into your heart, because he is the only one that's good. That was his point. That was Jesus' point when he was talking to him. I want to show you the other part. Did Jesus deny being good? Did he tell him, oh, I'm not good? Did he say that to him? He didn't deny it, did he? Why? Why wouldn't he? Because he's good. Yeah, he's God. He was God in the flesh. There's none good, man. No, there's nobody good. He didn't deny. You know, as a matter of fact, didn't he say someplace, he says, I am the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. Calls himself good. Hallelujah. I hope you're writing some of these down, man. Psalm 33, verse 5. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is God good? Watch this. He loves righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of what? The goodness of the Lord. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 25, verse 8. Says this, it says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he will teach who?
Sinners.
Sinners in the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, I like this one. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. When you place your trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, Old Testament was kind of, people were covered with kind of a temporary covering, which was called the blood of the sacrifice. That's how God was able to work with the folks in the Old Testament, with Israel. But today our sins are washed away because he's good. How many know that? How many know that God is good? I want you to put up this one. It's Romans chapter 2, verse 4. I want you to look at this. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to what? Listen, God's goodness leads you to repentance. How many of you remember that? I'll tell you what, when God began to touch me in that tent and in that church, his goodness was leading me somewhere. He was showing me something. His goodness was reaching out and was leading me to repentance. It wasn't until about a month later that the Lord grabbed a hold of me by the words of my mom, which she said, I told your wife to divorce you. Nobody needs to live like this. I go, what? Mom, you just, I was drunk at the time. But the next day, all I could hear was, I told your wife to divorce you. It was like a tape recorder happening in my heart, man. I could hear my mom. How many know that was the Holy Ghost? That was the Holy Spirit speaking to me, but he was using my mom's. And I go, Mom, oh man, kept trying to shake it off. Went into a vault and talked to a man and gave my heart to the Lord. And after I gave my heart to the Lord, the goodness of God had brought me to a place where every night, and I used to watch Jimmy Swaggart every Friday night. I think it was Friday, it might have been Saturday night. I would watch the Jimmy Swaggart Crusade every Saturday night, crying in front of my TV, God, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry for what I've done. God, forgive me. Will you forgive me, Lord? It was the goodness of God that was drawing me to him. And finally, one day, weeks later, he said, you're done. You're good. You're okay. It's all right. You are saved. How many know it's important to be saved? Hallelujah. The goodness of God. Hallelujah. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Would you put up Ecclesiastes 8:11? Folks, I've been talking to the church, and I'm saying this. God has got me speaking this. God is looking that we begin to take purity into our lives. We need to be looking at what our lives are looking like, and we need to ask God, say, Lord, show me what you don't like in my life. Is that okay? Hallelujah. You know, that coming to the Lord and getting before him and saying, you know what, have your way, Lord, have your way, is just a bunch of words if you won't change. Is that right? It's just a lot of mumbo jumbo. That's all it is. Because you got to have something in your heart that says, Lord, if you just tell me, I'll change. Or when you see something, you know it's not right. How many of you guys know that? How many know that it's not right? It's not right to cuss out the postman. You just know. It's not right to get so angry at somebody the way they drive in front of you. Is that okay? How many know that? How many know that? Is that all right? Is it okay if I tell you that? It's not right. And so we got to say, Lord, you got to help me. Show me what's going on in my life that's contrary to you. It says this in Ecclesiastes, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. What's he talking about? That when you do something wrong, God just doesn't smash you. Is that right? It's not executed against you speedily. He says, therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. We just think, well, it's okay. I can do it again. Well, it's okay. I can do it again. God is saying, I'm in the midst of purifying the body of Christ. You need to take a look at what you're doing. And you need to say, hey, God, I know this is wrong. God, will you help me with this? Hallelujah. Will you help me? And see, it's his goodness that draws you to bring those things and get them out of your life. Is that okay? God is in the midst of purifying the bride. Folks, it's not long we're going to see the Lord. I'm telling you, it's not long. And he say, I'm coming for one that is pure. I'm coming for one that is without spot and wrinkle. And he's already done it for you, but you got to submit to it. Is that okay? Can I tell you that? Because the fact of the matter is, there was five virgins that weren't ready. Five. They missed it. And we cannot be playing with sin. We just can't do it. We cannot be playing with those things that we think it's all right because we haven't been smashed over it. It's time that you get your heart right before God. It's time that you say to him, Lord, forgive me, wash me, cleanse me, strengthen me. How many know? Because some of these things we're talking about, you need strength to get through them. How many know that? Is that right? Yeah. You don't have to look at me. Some of you, just every time I look at you, you look down. It's okay. Hallelujah. Because I know, folks, I know that God is saying to the church, get ready. Get ready. Prepare, prepare, prepare. That's what I heard the other day. I was in San Diego watching at a service. And while the music was going, while we were worshiping, all of a sudden the Lord began, prepare, prepare, prepare. I got to prepare myself, but as a pastor of this church, I have to speak that preparation to you. You need to, I can't do it for you. You have to do what you have to do to get yourself in that place where you say, man, God, I can walk confidently that I am doing what you've asked me to do. Whew. How many are ready for that? Hallelujah. So what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to, you know, last week we talked about storms. And let me just say this one more time. Revelation, God is inviting you to revel it, to reveal something to you. It's an invitation to revelation. Hallelujah. When things are going crooked and crazy in your life, we talked about storms last week. When those things are happening, it's an invite. Do you understand that? It's not just something to lay down. It's just the way I am. I just get mad all the time, or I just drink all the time, or it's not something. It's an invite because you know it's not right. Is that right? God is inviting you to change. He's inviting you. He's inviting you. The goodness of God is inviting you. Do you understand what I'm telling you? He's inviting you to change. Don't let it go because it's important to who we are and where we're going. It really is. Hallelujah. So I'd like to.